credit approval is just seconds away. Get on the fast track at Zoom Credit. At the speed of light, Zoom Credit will pre-approve you for a car loan, a home loan, refinance, or credit card. Even if your credit's in the tank, Zoom Credit is like money in the bank. Zoom Credit specializes in credit repair and debt consolidation, too. Bankruptcy, slow credit, no credit. Who cares? Zoom Credit cares. We care about your future, not your past.
No one can help reestablish your credit like Zoom Credit.
Visit Zoom45.com or call 800-697-5212. That's 800-697-BANK-5212. In seconds, you'll be pre-approved. Your new car, extra cash, new house, and new freedom just around the corner. Bank. Just seconds away. Call 800-697-5212. Bank. Bank. That's 800-697-5212. Or apply online. Bank. 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 At Zoom45.com today.
I need my sleep. You know, I need 8 hours a day and about 10 at night. And, no, then I'm good. So do I have a message? Is there a message in all this? Because I know all you're going to remember is the dick jokes. I know that. I'm doing 2 hours. The last 7 minutes are dick jokes. Everyone goes, he's so dirty. And with Madonna, it's all fucking pussy on every page. And you go, she's making a political statement. I can't win! Do I have a message? Yes, I do. Here's my message. As scary as the world is, and it is merely a ride. In the amusement park of the universe, it is merely a ride. It has its thrills, it has its chills, it has its ups, it has its downs. My factorum, Martin, getting ready for the pale young men to line up. Either that or I get women, these weird women with their poetry.
Here, Bill, I think you can relate to this.
The hooved beast rode me like the incubus bitch I was. Thanks. I'm not in the mood to read right now. I appreciate your thoughts on the hooved beast who rode you like the incubus bitch you were. That's your poem? No, those are your notes. They fell out of your pocket. The world is just a ride. And some people have known it. We think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are, but it's not. It's a ride. And some people have known it, and they've come here and told us, it's just a ride. And we have killed those people. Because we love the fucking ride. You ever notice that? We always kill the good guys and leave these demons just running amok on the planet. You ever notice that? Jesus murdered, Martin Luther King murdered, Gandhi murdered, Malcolm X murdered, Reagan wounded. But it's just a ride. And since you know it, and some people are tired of the ups and downs and the thrills and chills and prefer instead the quiet, they have to be told it's just a ride.
Samuel X. Wiz Commander Q.
36 Jesuit
Commander Q.
Thank you.
Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. It's June 4th, 2001, about 7 PM. Along, I think it's Commercial Street, near the T station, Malden, Mass. This is the second in my revived voice journal series. Still don't know what volume number it is. But it's the second one since I revived the project a few weeks ago. Well, I'm no longer working at Harvard Business School Publishing. That gig ended May 25th. Which is now about a week and a half ago. I'm going to test this to make sure it's working okay. And it is. A few days after it ended, my friend Barbara Brandon down in Columbia, South Carolina. I was on Commercial Street, by the way. I'm now crossing over to Charles Street and then on to Canal Street, of course. Anyway, a few days after that, my friend Barbara Brandon, who's the managing editor of the University of South Carolina Press, contacted me and offered me freelance copy editing work, which is finally going to begin tomorrow, if all goes well. I'll get the first manuscript from her. It's a revised edition of Matthew Broccoli's biography of F. Scott Fitzgerald, Some Sort of Epic Grandeur. It's an 800-page book, $2,000 job. I want to get into it a lot, get it going. The longer I delay, the longer I won't be doing it. I want to get it going so I can get $2,000 in the bank in addition to what I already have there. $2,000 is about what I would make for 4 weeks of work at Harvard Business School Publishing. So, however, it will be 4 weeks from today, more or less, that I would get it. So, last week of work is when I'm looking at one week worth of lost work. Anyway, so there was a period of time there where, there was a few days where, well, I'd been laid off and I wasn't finding work, and then I was laid off. I'd gone through my last day. It was rough. It was rough. I was an emotional wreck, and I wasn't functioning very well in any way. And even when the news came from Barbara, which came last Tuesday afternoon, I was still kind of messed up for a while. I wasn't writing. I was on the computer way too much and not doing anything useful, just games and chat and cyber sex. And I was just fucked up. But happily, Good Lord, Anthony's Restaurant. Phil and Rhonda's Gala Divorce. It's going to be playing July, August, September, October, and November. Holy fucking crap. Oh, man. Where the fuck am I going to be November 16th? When it plays on August 25th, I'll be just about, or for real, on the road to Burning Man. Thereafter, I don't know. I always seem to... Well, I seem to have come to... Burning Man has become a kind of a focal point of the year. In many ways, I mean, it's interesting that it comes at the end of the summer, which used to be the end of the school year for me. You know, I'm not doing the school year anymore, but still, in a way, the year for me begins / ends at the beginning, end of August, beginning of September. And that's fine. It's good. So, anyway, I got that Wednesday at 1 o'clock. I have an interview for an editorial assistant position at the National Consumer Law Organization in Boston. Great and real. I'll go in and give it my best shot. That's about all I can do. So that's the job thing. Romance. I was back in touch with Erica, but, you know, I just don't think I can be in touch with her. I think I have to let that go. We exchanged a couple of emails, and it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right. It felt like... it felt two ways. One, I felt like I was still being controlled, and two, I was sort of letting that be the case, and, you know, I could live without it. I really could. I don't need it. I don't need her. I don't need her enough to deal with it. May change over time, but I just don't think so. Lainey went to her therapy last Wednesday after months and months and months of me urging her to, much longer than that of her wanting to and not succeeding in doing it. Well, she went to it, and then she called in sick 2 days straight. No, it was the previous Wednesday, so it's now almost 2 weeks ago. Well, we've been in touch very little since. I think she's written me 2 emails. We had 1 conversation online. It was not much. She doesn't have much to say to me. I'm not taking it personally, per se, but there isn't much I can do. So, really what it comes down to is there's nothing doing right now with any of it. I think to get beyond where I've been with online stuff, romance, sex, all that stuff, I mean, it's close to 2 years, and nothing came of any of it. It was a lot of experience, but I don't know. I wrote a lot of poetry. A lot of passion flowed out of me for women, many of whom I never met in person. And I gave a lot back. And I think that I learned what is possible and what isn't. I think I gained a new confidence in myself and my ability to be attractive. I understand better what about me is attractive. Younger women find older women, older men attractive. I'm tall and I have red hair and I'm relatively nice looking. And I write. And all these things all these things separate from me and my identity are attractive. They're appealing things to women. And I don't really need online to reinforce that anymore. I know it beyond having to be online to reinforce it. I know it to be true, and I know it doesn't have to do with me personally. I have these qualities that are attractive qualities, but they're just attractive qualities. And I just have them. So, it's a weird way I'm putting it, but I guess that what it means is that I'll find a lot of women over the course of time and place who find me appealing, and it's not something about being online that is the thing that does it. It's who I am and who I become. So I can't say I'll retreat completely from these things, but I've got work to do. My position is better but more tenuous. And hold on. Machine was making a clicking sound, which I think might be picked up in the recording. It's still making it? No, it's not. Oh, no entering Bellrock Cemetery. Came here the other night, and I was tripping, and as I entered from Medford Street, I looked at the long stretch of lawn with only small stones scattered on it, and I just looked in awe. And I looked at the trees, and I looked at them in awe. So, anyway, I'm bound for, home, and, I'm gonna be home until Wednesday morning. Not have to deal with the train. Not have to deal with spending money, which is a concern of mine, always. There's just a lot of stuff that needs to be done. My writing's getting better, publishing projects are getting better, and I'm going to put my house together in a new and better way than it's ever been. So, I guess that's it for now, though. So, more soon. Wednesday, June 6th, 2001, about 12:10 p.m. Leaving Newman Road, Malvern, Mass., en route to Malvern Center T Station. Bound for Boston. Interview with the National Consumer Law Center on State Street. Job interview at 1 p.m. Running pretty tight to that time, but I think it'll be all right. It's only one train. That often makes all the difference. Anyway, they have an editorial assistant job, $25,000 a year. And about a week ago, they called me, and we set up an interview. And now, the moment of truth has come. I'm bringing my book bag and a chunk of the Fitzgerald biography. Which I'm going to read afterward. I may even read it outside, which would be kind of fun. stayed indoors yesterday. Didn't spend a penny. Well, except for quarters for laundry, but I already had those. Between Monday night, Tuesday, and this morning, I've read 200 pages of the F. Scott Fitzgerald biography that Barbara sent me. I'm fairly certain that it's going to go well. I have every intention of having it done within the next couple of days so I can get on to the hard, slow proofreading that commences on Monday. I'm not sure if I'll do a third reading. I'd like to get that money sooner than later. But I don't know, it depends. Reading it once through, slow, well, at a reader's pace, and then reading it again through at an editor's pace, it's probably about as much as I can stand of any book. Especially something that's not fiction or poetry or something creative. Now walking down Canal Street. And I figured if I get this job, it's not going to start next week. It'll probably, if it were to start at all, it'll start the following Monday. So if I can get this work done quicker, if I can get it done before I start the other job, that would be good. Last night yesterday, I guess I haven't talked in this thing for a couple days. Yesterday I got a lot of work done, but I've been getting a lot of work done in general lately. Since I've left Harvard, I've been home a lot, and after the first few days of endless being on the computer, I buckled down, and I'm starting to get back in the groove of things. There's still countless things I have to do, but so far so good. It's funny how when one's mind drifts from the past to the present to the future, and even if you want to be here now, well, the mind doesn't work like that, I don't think. And I don't know how much control one should have over the mind. I think a certain amount of steering is good. But I don't know. I guess it's better to float than dwell, is one way of putting it. Passing by the 60s rock with the peace sign and the LSD equals God lipstick on it by me. Now, a couple of years ago at least. I'd love to find another lipstick container when tripping and get a third one going. You know. Anyway, so far this is a good week. This is a good week. It's all right. The other thing is, if I don't get this job, the sooner I can finish it, the sooner I'll get the money, and the possibly sooner Barbara can get me another book. I think she knows within a short period of time I'll be her best copy editor, because I have the natural skills and tendency toward this, and I've been doing it all along anyway. But really what it comes down to is, before I begin that second hard copy edit, the real copy edit, what I'm doing right now is just reading. Reading and making mental notes about what I'm seeing on the page. But I've got to look at all the guidelines she sent me, and I've got to look through the Chicago Manual of Style. I got to give all that a good hard look-see. And then jump into the book. So I'm hoping that this second reading can commence on Tuesday or Monday. And they can get it done in about 7 days. Asked me a striking question this morning. I was talking about Lainey, and I said that she's wounded. He said, "Have you ever thought about how you're attracted to the wounded?" And I said, "Of course. I grew up among the wounded. I am wounded. I recognize it in others." But I also said, "The wounded and the wise." It's not a very original thing to say that from pain comes wisdom, or at least knowledge, and sometimes wisdom. Pain teaches, joy teaches, they both teach. You need both in your life. If you're lucky, you learn. You become a deeper, profounder person. In some ways sadder, but sad and joy are hand in hand. They really are. If I could get Barbara to get me a manuscript every 3 weeks, that would really be good. But I don't know. I don't know what, I really don't know what frequency she can do that. I can only expect so much. But she's doing what she can for me. reading about Fitzgerald and Zelda. I think about me and Lainey. Lainey's the rich girl. I'm the poor boy. I'm the artist, Lainey's the muse. Lainey and Zelda are not exactly the same kind of women in any ways, but they both have a similar appeal, in some ways at least. They're both attractive, young, vibrant. They understand, they get it. They get the art thing. Honey, every time a cop car passes me, I'm always tensed up. I always feel watched. I'm gonna go to this interview and then I'm gonna enjoy the fact that I'm in the city. And try not to spend any money, but I'll probably spend a little bit. I guess that's it for now. Or later.
Are there any questions?
If you hate Los Angeles so much, why do you live there?
I'm that kind of a guy. I hate children and I'm at the playground every day. I'm that kind of a guy. I have to go to the playground because you got to keep your aim. You know what I mean? They dart. You never know where kids are going to go, you know? And I hate wasting ammo. They're tough shots, kids. They dart around. Little things catch their eye. They're not like other people. You can follow them. You know, a little kid will be, you know, might hit someone. I'm moving back to New York City, and New York City, New York's on my mind. New York City, this bum fucking capital of the world, but I'll be there. I hate, you guys got a lot of bums too, I noticed, coming up in England, huh? We exporting that too? We exporting bad times to you? Don't worry, here's American Gladiators. Go back to bed. Join America on the fucking couch. Get your fat ass fatter. Join us. Here's a flag. Here's a fetus. You are the puppet people. We will use symbols to excite you. Bums everywhere. Can't stand them. People think they're homeless. They're bums! Very idea. They want me to give them the hard-earned money my folks send to me every week. Fuck off! My dad works 8 hours a day for this money. Maybe I was raised differently. So you go to school. What do you? What school? Wow. Reddick. Cool. What are you majoring in? Philosophy. I took philosophy. This is how you'll end up. Literally every side of every fucking coin. Spinning in front of you till you're hypnotized. But what if, but then if, but I can't, but then, but what if I have Thank you for giving me a vehicle to enter. I have hypnotized you so that I can enter your being. Now I will suck my own cock. horrible.
Jesus.
Guaranteed, though, if I'd been laid this year, I'd be doing the cutest, cleanest TV material in the world. This is the way it works. And if it continues, I'll be in a tower with a gun by the end of the year. I'm at the halfway point right now. I took philosophy with nothing but, in the summertime, nothing but football players in my class trying to make up credits. They thought philosophy was like an elective. It was great. Teacher would come in and go, God is consciousness, and we are all God trying to realize our full potential. I'm going, cool. Guy in the back of the class would go, yeah, we're going to need to know that. Is that going to be on the quiz? Go ahead and jot that down. That might come up later when the ride gets a little boring to you. I had no luck in school. One time in first grade, our teacher left the room for like a minute. We started playing keep away from this girl with her pencil. We're in first grade. We're all laughing. Y'all quit it. Give me my pencil. Would you quit it? Give me my pencil. Pencil came to me. I threw it. Went in this guy's eye. Everyone in class is going, Jesus Hicks, it's a game. What are you, a psycho or something? Suddenly I'm Henry Lee Hicks here because this guy can't catch a number two pencil like a normal human, you know? I got it. Good move, you dork. I'm an assassin. Teacher came back, Hicks stabbed him. Suddenly I'm going after people. You know? On. It was a childhood game. It went askew. One time I was late to class, but it's not late. No, it's tardy, a school word which means absolute shit on the streets. And if you don't believe me, try showing up late to your first job. Am I tardy? No, you're fired. Not what I thought it meant. I was late to class, tardy, whatever. I'm sitting down. Guy next to me yanks my chair out from under me right when I sat. I fell down. Even the teacher cracks up. That's what you get for being tardy. Man, fuck it. I can sleep better down here anyway. Later on that year, that guy was late. Class had started. He's sitting down. I yank his chair out from under him. Boom. Middle of class. Breaks his fucking back. That guy was in every one of my classes the next 5 years. Real funny, Hicks. Guy with one eye pushed him around. What am I supposed to say to these guys, you know? Well, y'all can park closer to the school now. No more tardies.
Samuel X with Commander Q.
Near 9 p.m., Faneuil Hall bench near Samuel Adams. Excuse me, near Samuel Adams statue, Boston, Mass. My interview went all right. I think I deported myself well. I don't think that anything will come of it. I think they'll either find me overqualified or something. And I'm not gonna think about it, frankly. It's just one more step in the process. I got lost several times getting to where I needed to get to, which was kind of funny in retrospect. The first time was my screw-up. I misread the directions I was given, and then the second time was the screw-up of the lady who had called me in the first place. But in any event, the interview was conducted by about six people, and I think I deported myself well, but I don't think that that means anything in this case. And that's okay, because it's not such a great job to have lost. Something else will come along. They could surprise me, but I doubt they will. So after I left, it was only about 2:15. I went to Wendy's nearby, and I ate, and I read on in the Fitzgerald manuscript I've been copy editing. I'm near to 300 pages. In fact, I only have in my bag up to page 302, so I brought a chunk. I wanted to get to 2 and past 300 today. And I think I'm about 10 pages away from that goal. Then I went to Borders Books, to the second floor, where there's this row of armchairs, and I read on in the manuscript until I was just burnt out on it. Then I read some of a book by Henry David Thoreau called Wild Fruits, which was the last manuscript he was working on before his death. It's incomplete, but it's definitely worth having been published. And then I read a book about women's health. I looked up a section on rape, which wasn't very long, but I was thinking of Lainey. And there's a quote there. Made by a woman named Betty Rollin. Who I think is a famous writer, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's Dr. Susan Love's breast book, and she quotes Betty Rollin as saying, "If you feel deformed, it's hard to feel sexy. I was dark and dry. I no longer felt lovely, ergo, I no longer could love." That was regarding Rollin having to have a mastectomy, I think it's called, which is surgical removal of a cancerous breast. But I was thinking of Lainey, and it seems to fit her too. She doesn't she's dark and dry in some ways, and so she doesn't think she can love. I don't think that there's much I can do for Lainey but write letters to her and let her know that I'm thinking of her. I can't do anything else. She has to work through all this on her own. I think she's going to do that anyway, but I don't think that she can really talk to me about it. At least right now. But by continuing to write to her, I continue to play a role in her life. And that continuity is good. Even if she can't respond to me very much, she knows I care about her and that whatever she has to say, whatever she wants to tell me, that it matters, and that she's part of my life too, that she's important to me, no matter how she feels about herself these days. I remember when I first started talking to her again after Erica. I found us on a different level, a different plane, plateau of honesty and depth. But I think overall it was only an intermediate one, a good one, better than where we'd been, but also bound for even higher, deeper places. And so, that's what I have to think. That at some point, she will feel more in control. Again. And I'll be there. In some form. There's a quote from Henry Thoreau, quoted in Wild Fruits, the introduction by Bradley Dean, but it's actually a quote from Walden. Not till we are lost, in other words, not till we have lost the world, do we begin to find ourselves and realize where we are and the infinite extent of our relations. Anyway, after the past several hours, I picked up a book. I don't even know why I picked it up, but it was sitting there incongruously in a pile of cookbooks or something. But it was a biography of the baseball player and humanitarian Roberto Clemente, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates for 18 years, between 1954 and 1972. But his life was much, much, much more than that of a professional athlete, which is enough of a life in itself. He was an incredible person in so many ways. And I picked it up just to look at it, just to maybe look at the last few pages, and I don't know. I don't know exactly what my motivation was, but I ended up reading virtually all of it. And it brought tears to my eyes by the end. Very moving book, well written, and a very moving story. I really liked it. So now it's about 9 o'clock, and I'm sitting here alone, lots of people going by. It's an absolutely beautiful night. And though I have to be wildly frugal about my money, at the same time, it's 9 o'clock, it's a lovely night, and I don't have to go back to Malden until the train stop. I could be here till nearly 1 a.m. if I wanted to be, if the spirit moved me. I've been working on my assignment for the USC Press all day. I worked on it this morning, I worked on it this afternoon. I'm going to try and finish off those last 10 or so pages that I haven't read, that I have in my possession right now, and then not worry about it until I get back to Malden later on, and maybe try and push a little further on, but probably not much. Because if I do get through the rest, it'll mean I've read over 140 pages today. I find that, like the last time I had an assignment from Barbara with that book to read, that my reading production level goes up each day I do it. The first day I did this, it was 61 pages. The next day was about 100. Today's going to be close to 150. The truth is, I really don't want that job. I think if it's offered, I might think about it, but I really don't want it. I think the thing that sealed it for me was, at the end, I was asked, did I know about the commitment I was supposed to make? I'm supposed to make a 2-year commitment to this job, and I can't make any such commitment. I didn't like it. It felt wrong. It felt very wrong. It seemed to I don't know. Everything else in the interview had gone all right, but this just it was spoken of last, it was spoken of reluctantly. And I didn't like it. I doubt anything will come up being interviewed, but there was a high point where I was asked, where do I see myself in 3 years? And I think that was my peak moment, because I talked about how for a long time I didn't know where my direction was in life and how I now know where it is. I know the work I want to do. That really felt good. I mean, I was speaking to half a dozen people, but I spoke with confidence and clarity. One doesn't need to settle for less than one deserves. I'm in a position, however tenuous, where I can begin to try and respond to that sentiment better than I have. But really, I don't know what will come of it. Anyway, that's it for now. More later. It's Thursday, June 7th, 2001, about 7:10 p.m., leaving Newman Road, Malden, Mass. Only about maybe 10 minutes at the most on this side of this tape, and I'm saving the other side for an event due to take place in an hour or two. My friend Joe Chacon and I will be giving a okay, about 5 minutes later, I had to go back and get some of the poems I'm supposed to be reading tonight with Joe. We're going to be doing it's a combination of music and poetry. He's going to be doing some of his songs, I'm going to be doing some of my poems. I'm going to read one of his poems, he's going to read one of my poems. And then, we're each going to read one of Rick's poems. It's kind of a tribute to our friend. So, it should be fun. I think this will be the last time I go to this event, this book market event in Melrose. I don't think Rick's going to do too much longer anyway. There's supposed to be a couple of summer gatherings, I guess. I'm not all that keen on them, frankly. But they've been fun for what they were. And that's good. I'm getting better at not spending money. I didn't spend any money yesterday. Or rather, I didn't take any money out of the bank. And I haven't taken any money out of the bank today. I'm not planning to. And I might get together with this guy, Andrew, from Alston Brighton Free Radio, but I'm not planning on spending much. I think I may bring him 6-pack out of friendliness, but nothing more than that. So, I proofread about 60 pages today, which is not good. But I'm not really worried about it. Tomorrow I'll be way up over 100, I'm sure. I think I'm right near 400, just halfway. So, it'll be good. Last little bit for my inevitable walk from the train station.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. 1, 2, 3.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
Sanyo X with Commander Q.
36 Shizu if Commander Q.
Sanyo X Commander Q.
Commander Q. Spirit and all ready. No red. Yes.
Join me again. 36 X with Commander Q.
Watson record yesterday. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I say, Shady Grove, my little love, I'm gonna go away.
Mortal tyrant within crushed, the eye roams over pink cheeks, over any slip of flesh revealed. The smoke of a smile, the blind of a finger, the thrill of the power raised. Watching that which twitches and dances to the power strummed, the tumult and power stroke through oil, canvas, her body as she waits her costume tonight, her pleasure to conduit power wildly. A split mattress, a splintered bush, a fuck tattoo, fuck me harder, approach the trees themselves for notice. See if this power raised as rain or shine or breeze or more, mewing from a race unfit to bear its dreams. A few of them architects, a handful musicians, but shred so easily by the power that they raise a thousand for one to briefly stroke. But again tonight the power is raised, the bastards about give way. Nature will tell everything if we cease to ask, cease to ignore. The trees are ready, the kittens, piranhas, typhoons, all ready. Power raised again tonight, no answers, no puzzles, cherry blossoms, no walls. Spit into your hands and be ready to clobber cosmos or face mask. The blood to equal, to better one's dreams. To follow the lick steadily from breast to belly, bush to back. To give over to her tongue or his tongue or their several touches. To release to the deeper danger, which hardly murmurs at dusk. Fuck him, fuck her, fuck them, when the moon roars up from the horizon. Begin with tears, begin with flail. The power is raised, the trees won't notice the grind but for the sparks. The trees know we call it love, that we have a thousand languages to shroud and queen just one word. The sky is smacked with our love, frenzies and loss. The birds approach us, instruct us to wait, to listen, to learn how to give, how to receive. How identity merges within the flock and coalesces into the egg. Dogs won't abandon us, remembering love still. The power raised perhaps even a notice tonight by this electrical universe. Love the aching puzzle. No puzzles, no questions. Love a steam of flicking diamonds. An endless smoke. A flue. Love the pool of flitful maybes. Love the curing smoke. Love the birthing pyre. Love restraint, confusion, liberty. The power raised tonight while all awaits us. Your blue eyes far tonight as the trees await, as I'm told ascend, but do not yet. Something remains here in the strews and the beams. Something remains, no puzzles, no answers, neither tattered nor invincible. Something remains, some string of notes, blue-eyed and blonde. Something to explain the gleam and the pitch. Something the trees and sky and dimensions many will allow me. Something important, a steam, a smoke, a flue. The power raised tonight, the power stroked, the power strummed. Mortal tyrant within again, crushed, no answers, no puzzles, and my eventual swoop within you, and a greater music, and a greater silence.
Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I say, Shady Grove, my little love, I'm down to go away. When I was a younger boy, I wanted a barlow knife, now all I want is Shady Grove, tell me she'll be my wife. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I say, Shady Grove, my little love, I'm bound to go away.
run into the song. This is Joe's poem, Utrillo's Blues. The painting hangs without guile on a wall of windows, its image rendered as though a part nearly inseparable from that which moves in time, outside this room, two scenes living together in spite of each other, one of them the crowded streets and looping lanes of the park, with its long rows of autumn trees and gentle sunlight that always seems to garner a bit more warmth than what the season holds, as its burnished glow passes through the glass to light the other scene framed here. But I gave little thought to its somber theme. After a while, it became just another thing to have with its canvas like a fabric to match the greens and grays of the room, the muted plaid of the couch, and the glass basin with its carafe and yellow sunflower. I no longer considered at length its bleak vista of rooftops as I sat below my long shelf of volumes immersed in a landscape of Shakespearean rail yards chasing a hobo's footsteps across trammel paths that perhaps never existed as I imagined them, believing I would soon uncover the place where song and life broke apart, and I would be the one to sew them back together. Amidst the token Underwood's rollicking cacophony, like the bells of a trolley, I of course wrote nothing good, but even so, the stories I've come here to tell you begin in this place, growing out of a receding wellspring of realities, each of them existing in a time that is perhaps not ours to reckon, and echoing what lies beyond this fragile language, endlessly coming and going, and never really saying anything other than we are here right now, and since the road stretching out before us seems real enough, let's travel it together. There was a day I recall clearly, like any other in the city that I told myself over and over I just happened upon, no better than anywhere else. Anyway, I wasn't going to stay for long, only until I learned the craft. But days seem always to lead to years, and soon you forget the reason why you've come in the first place. But you can't forget the same things forever. I walked into the room where the painting hung in stillness, appearing at first to be just as I had left it. After all, nothing much happens to paint once it dries, aside from what happens to us all. A slow fading over the years, the colors more or less always reminding us in the same way of how everything is brighter in Pontoise in summer, when the spires of the church are not hazed in such a sullen atmosphere, as Utrillo so often depicts them, with the bleak lines of a street full of lightless doorways and curtained windows, as if every newness had been stolen away in one death stroke and was no longer worth chasing after. Overcome all at once with this delirium of vanishing certainties, I could do nothing other than follow it along its course, unable to rebuke the new interpretations as they were occurring to me, because they seemed to recall episodes from my own memory, winters full of indistinct loves renewed in the form of a singular essence, a tightness bearing down from outside to push me through the shadows of half-lit buildings, and along the arcade with its naked entrances that were like a series of secrets opening into a night full of clouds and lost kites, into whose chill air even the bony arms of trees reach out and lose their way. The street itself seemed calculated in comparison to what I then knew was behind it, its angled structures devolving into shallow surfaces that rose up from their planes to become the numbers, the painting had always managed to defy as though the world represented merely a sum to be tallied without labor, in a meaningless place, yet for a brief moment I knew I had somehow gone beyond its creation, into what was really there, in that cold town in France, conceiving of a ghost walking without sound among the balconies strung together, like threads of iron, seeing its face for a moment, realizing it was me. That I could not even remember the good artist's name is perhaps a mark of the work's success. It was as if I had rendered those shapes myself on the day soon after the flood, in the basement where I once lived, when I noticed the picture leaning against a line of dusty barrels and recognized it was somehow dry, below the stain marking where the water had come up, and in a way I quietly shared its ignorance. So I took it and closed the door behind me, setting out into the cold, singing over and over the words, I will go find what I do not have, telling myself it was to pursue a constant newness through language, though it was the greatest one of all I was running away from, and although it can never be fully expressed with a bending tongue among the living, I'm sure it had something to do with love. On that day I would start to become the person who I am now, alive for the first time, with the door still swinging silently on its hinges, and myself exhaling as I continued to look across the room toward the wall with the windows, and the painting, each one a viable entryway into different scenes, no one less real than any of the others. Yet it's just that I chose the painted one that day for my code, my vision, and peered down the last alley at a single strand of blue I had never before seen, toward which the pale city was converging, a pale electric spark, the scarf of a woman, furtive among the dull shades, evading my glance as she hurries between gaslights, and just like that gone. Nonetheless, it must be her who I keep returning here, day after day, hoping to find.
I'm going to read one of Ray's now.
I lost the page, right? This is called Phantom Limbs. Somewhere. There it is. We live our lives by habit. Each face we have to show each other begs for redemption. Eyes glisten, mouths silent. We were raw, we matured, then we burned. Cascades of fresh notes as new soul enters the twilight den. Crescendos of hope, eyes glisten, a moment packed to its combustible limit. Tick, tick. We live our lives by habit. Someone lights a hookah. Today I awoke neither empty nor full. Today I was not frightened. Today the books blurred in sunlight. Today discovered several dream instruments by my bedside. Let the beauty we are be the love we feel. Today I kneeled and kissed the ground, called it a sleeping kitten, called it sky. The hookah I smoked today puffed new clouds. The new clouds floated to the ceiling, twined limbs. Numberless sleeping kittens blurred together in sunlight. In your light, my bride, I learn about beauty. Bride, beauty, my shadows for your life, my music for your love. You dance inside my chest. No one sees you. Sometimes I do. The sight becomes my art. A dream had by a tangle of warm kittens, hookah smoke, morning sunlight. I need your help again. Phantom limbs collect in the shadows of the twilight den. The morning lingers here. The murderers shift quietly among their fouled blood. We live by habit, smoke the ceiling black with our silence. The lover, the poet, the painter, and the philosopher enter in a knot of squalor and convictions. None drink the offered coffee. The owner returns from putting down several lambs. Even his ragged beard glints blood. He settles among his reserved cushions with thoughts of dinner, brothels, the tone of a particular thigh. The lover stands unsteadily, cries out, pounds his heart. Phantom limbs vibrate, tinkle. The poet laughs darkly, recites a profane rhyme, praises God, laughs louder. The philosopher and painter consider the brothel, count their money. The one with his thigh sheared off from a tavern fight, the other willing to pay more for the privilege of a room whose walls muffle cries. We live by habit. The owner will stay home again tonight, his dinner a thick stew. The morning is over. Again, my bride hasn't come. Morning, twilight, habit, phantom limbs. None make a difference. Even midnight, its obscure blood and thunder. No, makes no difference. We live by habit. We stalk street corner singers for news of our elusive contentment. Wish something better in the world was for sale. Brothels of happiness, brothels of Easter. My friend, the lover, visits me most mornings. We discuss my absent bride. He praises her youth, calls her a kitten. She's raw, she'll mature, you'll burn. Happiness, my friend, I'll come around in a year to see how finely you're burning. But nothing makes a difference. I'll fill my bride when she finally comes. Watch her mature, watch her burn, watch her explode. I promised my bride redemption, over and over until her eyes glistened. Each time I touched her, a cascade of fresh notes. Together we smoked a hookah. I taught her to drift along the morning, immolate slowly. Reason her way from worship of God to ambiguity, evanescence, twilight. She finally agreed. Churches take away everything, leave us embarrassed, leave us clean and gray and dismal with comfort. I seduced my bride into hope of a lesser paradise. She was happy. No more veils, she said, and kissed me. No more fractured pipes to bliss, she said, and urged me to lick harder. Then she was gone. I smoke less often now, waiting. In her absence, I am learning how to love. Remembering her beauty, I understand music better. She dances inside my chest like a bright fever with raw yellow claws. None in the den sees her, swirling and crackling among those phantom limbs. I do. I do when I understand music better, my pain exhaling fresh cascades of notes every moment. No more veils, she said, and kissed me. We live our lives by habit. We were clean, we plume, we fall. We spend our finite number of faces readying to ask the most important question, the only question. The moment comes, maybe morning, maybe twilight. The moment comes, our eyes glisten. The philosopher finishes another coffee. Praise God? No, friend, that's not what he's there for. Our eyes glisten. The moment passes. The poet brings me his new songs. The poet rhymes emptiness and fear with his strong voice and lithe muscles. The poet writes nothing down save on the backs of prostitutes who mother him and feed him good wine. The poet disdains the use of any instruments to accompany his song. The poet kneels, imparts to the earth the treasure of his touch. The poet tells me of beauty till I complain. Damn hookah smoke and coffee, I damn the helplessness of longing, of love. The poet praises God, laughs darkly, recites a profane rhyme, mentions my bride's name, I laugh with him. I rarely leave the twilight den anymore. The owner shows me his herd of sheep. He praises their wool, their meat, praises their dumbness. Without our damn questions, how easy our lives would pass, he cries. No churches, no hookahs, no brothels. Later, his mind evolved to mist. He allows the painter to continue work on his portrait. The painter limps slowly. The painter knows I see phantom limbs everywhere. Ask me questions as he paints our torpid face. Where do you think my bride has gone, I answered. I was the first to see her naked back glisten in the moonlight. I released her from so much. painter shows me his picture. My bride lies sleeping in a gaunt-faced mist. Blue streaks run violently down her back. The owner stirs angrily, demands order and calm in his establishment, mumbles praises of God, great belly rumbles. I promised my bride redemption until her eyes glistened over and over, until her eyes glistened. Days pass, fade, twilight always. I visit the brothel often, though they refuse my money. They lock the front door some nights when I come. One agrees to be my bride's legs, another her breasts, candy, kittens, blood, thunder, another her mouth, another her thighs, but they all fight to be her back, glistening in the moonlight. This too will become habit. Redemption happens every moment of our lives, or never at all. Returning to the twilight den, I take my new place among the murderers, them shifting quietly among their foul blood. No more veils, she said, and kissed me. My eyes glisten. The moment passes.
Pretty much covered everything. I apologize for continuing. This is called Making the Liar. It begins with an epigraph from Rilke, which reads, Behold, O innermost man, your most innermost maiden, fought for and won from thousands of natures, she that was only one up till now, and never as yet a creature beloved. Secret unfoldings of pulse amidst the crude talking surfaces, a dream cruising along coalescence, blood, youth, dimensions of sensation, stripped of movement, merely a girl god, merely a star, a waiting, a live meal. I want to taste her lips as they are tasting. I want to follow her into evanescence. She flings the thrill of wet stars across what is hard. She dapples difficulty, steers thrusts, conceals her absence among shadows, but forgetting and falling, she becomes again a language conceived for acquiescence. She is bitten, eaten, chewed, but nothing changes. Everything burns down. Toward midnight, she is less rising eyes and swimming smiles, taut implosion. Her dew is drying, making ready, finding the larger cups, the durable reservoirs. She is the snap of metal, hands, measuring the fence's limits, doubts face to the wall. What shall be, her flesh has long been told. Her back is stoical, but her blood is tickled with peeping dreams. Unwrapped in the darkness, she chases the moment's desire. Contrived to open, to receive, she fits among hands and mouth. She waits for the universe's eyes to approve her, hovers lightly near falseness. Something about to bloom in this world, something about to die. Her lover levitating amongst her forest of pink-cheeked dream music. The urge to caress, the power to ripen, the compulsion to own, to cage and burn, to say you are her, and you are not her, and I love you, and bend back more. To find her last shadow, her heart trembling, dress her in acquiescence, and a new name. She moans breezes of notes, a bruised being, a struck thing, a cage of women laughter, no blood stirring where not bone directed. She is a feline, convulsing from buttermilk and conquest, revived when pelvises lock and blur, now sinking, now revived when newly clutched. Morning, resurrection, consequences of dream, nude, soft, her sister on a canvas, remembering, love, her door is bright again, the young day, open hands, covered in eyes again, her body is still young, its surface unmarked, she is learning to ride the universe, it will play her henceforth, she will learn to be played.
We want to change the mood a little bit. We're not going to be so deep and introspective all night.
I'm going to do a Woody Guthrie song and try to do it.
Anyway,
I heard Ramblin' Jack Elliott do it
in Hartland, Connecticut, on my way down to New York City. I'm going tomorrow en route to Washington, D.C. It's called Pretty Boy Floyd.
Gather around me, people, and a story I will tell. That pretty boy Floyd, my love, me down. And he took you to hills and towns by the Canadian River shore. And pretty boy found a weapon at many a corner store. Yeah, he took you to hills and timber. You look like a shame every mile of home.
Stuff.
Yeah. A lot of treachery.
Right. Unmaking the Liar. Again, an epigraph from Rilke. At last they killed you and broke you in pieces while your sound kept lingering on in lions and boulders and trees and in birds. There you are singing still. Begin with newness, with youth, with every nuance of newness. The way each limb and portion of her body produces a separate, clean note. No universe has played her yet, and she has never contorted her single notes to produce a single song. She is enigmatic like a tree to study. As you take her down, what you most want disappears. Capture her from the windless field, but use no cage to keep her. Let her fly about your room. Leave her food and water in high up places. You've become like the master. You wait for her to shine and sing. There must be reward for your waiting patience. You study her until she has a name. You will contain her, then make her greater. The subtlety and the beauty will not appear. She holds your shoulders as you take her. She has no choice but submission. She becomes quiet in lieu of choice. Her bird's wings, now a girl's arms, splay out like her legs. You begin to chase what the world is losing. Leaving power behind, you pursue her stolen music. Leaving the arched virgin behind, you pursue her fecund source. What will make my music immortal? You'd often question the master. Shall I beseech the stars, romance the witches? Is there a potion, an ancient spell I can summon? The master called you storm-worthy but greenwood, playing melodies of arrogance and control. Become like those virgins you devour, he'd roar. You ruin their bodies but never touch their potency. Now you sacrifice your very heart to retrieve that potency. You rankle the specters and the thorns of the bygone world to allow you back her dawn's first blood. No longer protected, refusing to utter your master's name as charm, you draw her back to the living, fallen world. You are becoming the virgin's newly recovered blood. You will enact the universe's prime impulse, to love. Death you discover tastes of failure and shock.
Death comes around in time. Death does not hurry. While waiting, you sing, no master, no hope. You remember the wings of the creature you did not catch. Yes, and you tried to heal her. Then you knew that you loved her. You learned to let go. Your music ripe around you. You learned to let go. Tonight the master watches the stars, the dead pupil, the pupil's brief bride. They are both new sparkles in the cold ancient sky. Their youth's too bright for Earth's threshing ferocity. Their mortal passions ride winged objects with the calm and savage delight of birds. Eternal as starlight, endless colors, infinite songs, they are healed. They will love. Nothing else remains. Poem in the next to as a humble bow to our friend in green there. Never read some goddamn poetry at his own meeting.
I did last time.
That's true, he did. And also to summon a friend who is absent tonight but is always present in spirit. This is Rick Amonte's poem, Picture Window, Good Acid, or Jersey Book of the Dead, for Dave. Comes a point when earthly transmissions vanish, and you're left with sounds, premonitions, prehistories. The stucco walls of shoreside motel evaporate, but the plate glass window between you and the other side hums clear and bright.
and perhaps a flash of ocean or slip of flesh momentarily breaks in, and perhaps you brush it away like a crumb from a table. Relations enter and recede, gray-white wisps of storm cloud blowing back to the sea. Surrender whatever is left of you. You needn't do anything but gaze through that scratched picture window until all is white and silent.
One more Rick poem that I must my favorite Rick Amante poem called Passage. And love will grind your bones to a fine powder to be sprinkled by younger hands over older seas. All night we lay hip to hip, legs entangled, a single body warm and withdrawn. And you'll be with little heat, no money, full memory, traversing a sharp red landscape until the pull of attachment sucks you out a different door. The best days begin when the certainties exist. When emptiness like a prayer rises rich and unbearable. And mad Uncle Al, drenched in rose water and valentine, will loan you his false teeth to bite through the webbing. Once over the phone, toward the end of his life, Father stammered, then wept until he ran out of coins. And the thoughts of a small boy in a dark attic will bury this old house once and for all. Through the pantry window, a clump of azalea dark at the base, with oak leaves and sparrows. And you'll be unconcerned with forgetting the umbrella, slamming the screen door, losing the keys. Stay in this line or move to the next, bemused or bedeviled by the kindness, the anger, the watching, the waiting. And fascination may take root in cranium and spine until the toes are claw or skin is feather. The loon has two red eyes and four distinct calls, all inward piercing, taut, definitive. And you'll taste neither salt nor spice nor other's flesh, but only the sharp fruit of your reckoning, the beauty of the arrangement of the table, sanctified, the beauty of the derangement of the table, ravished. And cigarettes will burn endless in souvenir ashtrays without smoke or ash or lips to cling to. In a dark bar on a bright day, tall drinks fortify, reprieve, upend the hours. And numbers, letters, maps, and meetings will stew and boil and crack the pot. And from wherever you've been to wherever you're going, the light will cut stencils of newborn radiance, allowing all lives to pass on.
Last one. Just when you thought it would never end. I've been writing for an endless series of time, a series of series, essentially, called 36 Nocturnes, and I have this thing about the number 6, so I decided to write 6 series of 36 Nocturnes each, and I'm into the 4th series, which I've decided is kind of the series of poems where I'm addressing the natural world, in a sense, and this is number 12. From last Saturday. My blankness, your blankness, the company of men and women, a cacophony of arguments, how to live and why. Like a beautiful fizzle between this blankness and that blankness, a lick, a taste, a squeal, no more. Perhaps again life an endless stroke along arousing veins and flesh, a set of she-lips opening wider and wider, because the need to be taken understood is the need to be shared. Our beat, our blood, our come in my mouth as I kiss you and you taste me tasting you. Life may be a scripture to be puzzled. What figure sums 2 pines in a shell? A finger dabbed in red runs her lips to lips, paints nether and further. She wants to bite it. She wants to continue. Yes, a scripture. Sins and footnotes equated with starlight and fancy. The animals are merely our rides. Dinner. Fun. Or a war, principles aligned with cannons, so many babies and square feet per victory. My blankness, your blankness. The crooked chimes and the stray pigeon's nest on the old porch with shattered windows. Something to puff slow, mellow slow, man, count the beats.
Muse on the blood. It's all good. Let it go. Let it flow. Hunger, but always beautifully. Puppies to feed. Find the drums. Slack-ass cosmic mysticism. Grow the bud and smile. Or power. Moonlight. Orgasm. Water. Blood and land. Art more fierce than any other thought. Art the thought of God and the thought of no God. Art till she trembles. Till she stills. Till she understands just fucking pose is all the scripture and governance she will ever need. Till she understands that the reward is reciprocation. Symbiosis. Worship it, but do not touch until you understand. It is yours. Ours. Say it. Till she understands nude play in green fields is worship. Till she remembers. Art not the object it appears. Art the release. Art the pyre. Art the last drop never quite swallowed. Art the hardest nipple. Art the brave book of blank pages. Wear this. Just fucking pose. My blankness. Your blankness. Wear this too. Just fucking pose. My turn next. Our turn last. How to live. How to live. How to live and why. Her hair red in every dream I've ever had. Blue eyes a flaming stone. Knows how to pose. Knows what tastes like. Knows what she tastes like to me. Every poem a poke in her pretty. Wants it rougher. Always wants it rougher. Make me cry and I will stay. My blankness. Your blankness. Make me beg. Make me fizzle. Scratch my fur. Draw my leaves. Claw my starlight. Listen to the music that trickles out. Blankness. Blankness. Mark me with your nonsense. Your artists need to name and know. You will never get deep enough. You will never get the last drop. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Joe. Let's have another hand for Ray and Joe. Those of us who are left. And those of us who have left, give it to them. For the loss. Anyhow, to the assembled POR here.
Thank you all.
And, well, let me give you this. That is the Barbara who left. I know everybody here. You're new?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good.
We're going to have a meeting next month. The friends, person who comes here, offered to open up their place. If you're interested in that, you want to.
Oh, you did? Okay. Excellent. Excellent. All
right. Yeah, we won't be meeting here next month. We'll be meeting at Christina's house. So that's it. So. Drop the acid. No. Wow, I like that last homework.
Okay.
I like it. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Sketchy
work. Worked really good. All right, John, thanks. Good to see you, as always. And be well. Yeah, yeah. I like those
good songs.
Yeah, do that again next time. All right. Look for, we have a way to get in touch with you regarding hanging out with Christina. Okay, good. I hope so. We'll see you, Christina. All right. All righty. Huh? What's that? Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Tons of planning. Tons of planning.
No, that looks great.
So now you know, two of our favorite poems of yours.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was cool. Thanks, guys.
It was a cool surprise.
Thanks for snapping pictures. That's great. That's great. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was pretty well incoherent when I wrote it. But,
kind of coherent when you read it.
Yeah, sometimes things come out, you know, later on, realize. It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right. Okay. Oh, I think I was going to the left area.
Maybe he's going to mall. I don't know, but anyway.
Don't go to mall.
The guy, the thin man.
This to you. The fuck are you talking about? Here's my point, folks. In the blink of an eye, we can have heaven on earth. It's a choice. That's all it is. There's no evolution, no need to go any farther. We know it now. It's all here. It's all clear. It's all right now. It's a choice. You can look through the eyes of fear. You can look through the eyes of love. That's the only two ways to look. The eyes of fear is insanity. It's not really there. The eyes of love, the only real eyes. Bing, go. Bing, fucking go. Heaven on earth right now if you want. It's a choice to look through the eyes of love instead of the eyes of fear, just once. Like, for instance, the money we spend on weapons and defense each year, the money we spend on buying bigger locks and more fucking cops, instead if we spent that money feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would pay for many times over, not one human being excluded, we could as one race explore outer space together in peace forever. That is my dream. Thank you very much. You've been fantastic. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it. Oxford, you've been great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord.